Right.
You want me to do the thing from freezing? We change.
Together now, we have the schus to be together. Amish, maybe 150 feet away, not even from the tzion. Rabbi Nachman schus to get aleinu. And it's very, very hard. It's very hard for me to speak in this place. It's important for us to try to learn. That's where we came, to daven, to learn, and to try to understand what brought us to this place. Why are we here? You know, I want to begin with something that one of the bachurim in yeshiva gave me. It's going to be hard. One of the bachurim in yeshiva gave me. That was written by Reb Hillel Zeitlin. Hashem should avenge his blood. I thought it would be appropriate. He gave this to me a few weeks ago in Yeshiva. Because we began our trip, we began in Berdichev. And we're concluding the trip. We're concluding our journey for now. Over here in Uman with Rabbi Nachman. And this first-hand recollection of a great person, Reb Hillel Zeitlin, who was a huge Talmud Chacham at Tzaddik, that was killed on Kiddush Hashem, it's about what he remembered from a visit to Berdichev in 1911. But it's about Breslov. He himself, Reb Hillel Zeitlin himself, was from a Chabad family. So he went his own way, and he made many, many hakafas. You don't have this in your booklet, but I want you to just listen, and then we're going to learn. This is going to take like an hour and a half. I hope you're okay. I mean, really, I should stop apologizing. It's really we have to work on it. I have to try not to do that because I don't want you to be uncomfortable. But. It's not like there's so much to see around the neighborhood, you know. So
we did the walking tour.
That was the tour. We did the walking tour. We did the walking tour. And of course, anybody that wants to join one of the covers, or that needs to just to chill in some other way, that's okay. It's totally okay. Rabbi Nachman's a very, very big sugi in my life. I don't talk about it so much. but it's a very big sugya, and over here a little bit need to share. So listen, because you don't have this in front of you, just listen to the words, because it's from a great person. Obviously, it's translated from the Yiddish into English. But I think it's the right... It came from Shemayim, because it's about Breslov and in Berdichev. If a visitor to Berdichev wishes to hear a typical Jewish melody, let him listen to Reb Nissen Belz's protege. If it is Berdichev a Chassidic song he desires, he should go to the Kalina Shtiebel. When the Holy Shabbos departs and the Berdicheva week arrives with its barrenness, darkness, and destitution, the Karlina Chassidim are still aflame. This isn't Berdicheva. Their ecstasy has just begun, and they don't even dream of bidding farewell to the Shabbos queen. I heard their singing from afar one Motzei Shabbos and couldn't detect even a hint of sorrow. Now they are sitting in the palace of the divine presence. How can they bother themselves with hunger and pain, poverty and gloom? To be sure, each one of them has his own bundle of suffering at home. To be sure, these burdens are difficult to bear. To be sure, many have aging daughters to marry off, bills and rent and tuition to pay, and an empty money box to cover all expenses. If God so decrees, he must attempt to heal wife and children, and one is himself a bit sick. Old age encroaches, one's strength begins to fade. The world is stricken, there is no sustenance. This is 1911 in Berdichev. There's for sure no central air conditioning over there. Tear yourself apart, but what will you accomplish? When one sits at the king's table and when the Holy One, blessed be he, is present, there is no room for worry. We Jews have a God who lives forever. The merit of Shabbos will stand by us. The old Karlina Rebbe is surely a good advocate over there. Besides, why worry when we know that everything our Father does is for the good? Even when I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. However, if he would like to hear an altogether different sort of melody, if he would like to hear a melody born of the deepest and most difficult sorrow, if one would like to see ecstasy which is not the result of emotionalism or fervor, but only of the most profound, lucid knowledge, if one would like to see how men can actually walk upon the earth and yet not be here, let him forbear to traverse the muddy Berdichev streets. Let him cling to the crooked alleyways. Let him pass by the ancient cemetery, the broad, desolate field, where the night shadows fall on the orphaned hills, and where one lonely, leafless tree at the edge of the meadow can bring one to tears. Afterwards, let him also pass the so-called Leibed Geshul, because that's the shul that's nearest to the old graveyard. Let him pass by many other such shuls. Let him absorb the Jewish dejection and the special melancholy which can be felt in Jewish settlements. When the divinity of Shabbos is about to depart from her children, and dark reality peers out with her lackluster eyes, let him then betake himself to the shtiebel of the Breslover Hasidim. Let him bring along his own broken spirit. Let him prop himself up in a dark corner and hear sigh after sigh from the Breslover Hasidim, who sit around the table listening to the Rebbe's teachings. Let him feel in their sighs an expression of the speaker's words. Rabbi Nachman, such a yearning for God that is unbearable. Let him listen well to what is being said. Let him not trouble himself that this or that interpretation of Scripture is not so smooth or tidy, or may be open to various objections. Let him hear the main point. Let him hear the tenor of the words. The greatest of simplicity that emerges with the greatest wisdom. Probably means that merges, probably is a, that merges with the greatest wisdom. The most profound insights mentioned in passing without any indication that here whole worlds have been laid bare, gradually touching upon everything that exists on earth and raising it up to the heavens. Let him feel here the cosmic pathos, which after the moment of inner liberation must be transformed to cosmic joy. Let him feel that here hovers the spirit of the great Rebbe. Reb Nachman of Breslov, who lifts men up from the darkest depths of hell to the highest everlasting light. Let him later observe how silently, one by one, the Hasidim leave the table, join hands, form a circle, and begin to dance. In this dance, you have to keep in mind that 95% of these Jews were killed later on. In this dance, not one awkward move can be detected. For every turn, every gesture, that's what we were talking about yesterday with Nassim's scene. Every turn, every gesture, every inclination has been refined, ennobled, and sanctified to the loftiest level. You look, but you cannot believe your eyes. They seem to be ordinary people. Simple Jews, not great scholars, perhaps not scholars at all. They look like common laborers and porters, yet such inwardness, such depth of feeling and clarity of insight, such spirituality in every gesture, every footstep, and every note of song is impossible to find elsewhere in the world. So Hillel says, all the days of my childhood were spent among Hasidim. And in my life I had occasion to hear and see various kinds of Hasidic singing and dancing, including some exceptional melodies from the old Chabad Hasidim. But I never heard or saw anything equal to what I experienced in that poorly lit, forlorn shtiebel of the Breslover Hasidim in Berditchev. Their joy is a true joy. And their song is a song of redemption. They are free men. So say what you will. These people, particularly when among themselves, are no longer in exile. They are always at home in godliness. Outwardly, they may seem less impressive than other Hasidim. But one who has an eye to glimpse what is going on within the next Jew, close to God, must be astounded by the honest, wholesome rejoicing of these people when through their dance they talk. As we approach the breast of a shul, my companion, whose sympathies do not lie with the Hasidim at all, whispers, "Here we must walk more quietly." His observation is appropriate. A certain quiet holiness rests upon this shtiebel. Quiet is the sigh, yet it splits the heavens. Quiet is the discourse of the great Rebbe, yet it penetrates to the depths. Quiet is the dance, but through it you seem to be carried away, in spite of yourself, to other worlds. Quiet is the melody which suffuses your very being. Everything is quiet everywhere. Aside from the Hasidim, a number of Jews come here from off the street. They come by chance or out of curiosity, not always innocent of a penchant for laughter or scorn. It all remains quiet here. Everyone must listen. By his own choice or otherwise, the scoffer will be a scoffer no more. He must become sincere. This in itself testifies to the power of the spirit. That which is noble and strong must ultimately overcome that which is base and inferior. During his exposition, the speaker remarks, "The Jewish people must teach all the nations that there is a God in the world." That's what Rabbi Nachman said. One of the scoffers comes over to me and whispers, "It means that Gentiles should attend his sermons." A little later, I see that the very same scoffer, watching everything with an expression of utter seriousness, doesn't care to laugh anymore. As the dance becomes especially beautiful and joyous, I observe a 14-year-old boy, one of the curious, tell his friend, "It would be so good if all Jews could be this happy with their faith. Indeed, it would be so good. It would be so good." That's the journey that we've just taken from Berditchev to Uman, to Breslov, to Uman. And we began this journey by talking about the journey. So I'll share with you for a minute how my own journey began to Rabbi Nachman. Not that I had the schus to be called a Breslov of a chassid, and it's not a devar poshet. There are a lot of people who love Rabbi Nachman, but to be a true chassid is much more than feelings of affection and a little familiarity with some of the Torahs. I told this over a little bit, and Chaim Kramer asked me to a little bit a few years ago. Well, maybe it's just, I remember it was, you know when it was? It was the night of Sandy. It was the storm. It was that night when there was the dinner, the seam. So I said a little bit, he asked me, Chaim, I was asked to speak then. I said a little bit of this. But from the time that I was 11 years old, I started to learn Chassidus Sfar. 10-11 years old. And I mamish grabbed from everywhere and everything I could. And I was just a kid in Queens, growing up in Queens. And I was very, very curious. And I felt, I guess, a little bit of what we were learning in the story of the Rav and his son. Not with my father, but within myself, I felt a chisaron. I felt from a very early age that something is missing. They're not telling me the whole story in yeshiva. And something is missing. And my father doesn't speak much. And the little that he said were memories of things that he saw. And one thing that I kept on hearing, because I have cousins that are Chassidish cousins, they're all Satma cousins, and they're wonderful, wonderful Jews, and they took their little modern cousin under their wing. They used to bring me to Rabbi Yarlish, and my father always encouraged them. That my cousins, I went to Williamsburg, and I would go with them a lot. And one thing they always told me is that Rabbi Nachman, because I was asking you already, when I was 12 years old, I was learning Kedushas Levi, Tver Shloime, Be'maim Chaim, and I was all Chabad Svarim, and all different Svarim I was learning. And I heard different things. I heard about Rabbi Nachman from Breslov, and my cousins in Sama said, Rabbi Nachman, but we can't understand it. It's not... Meantime, these cousins all come to Umin every Rosh Hashanah. But they said that Rabbi Nachman is very deep. It's not for you. And I was 11 years old. And they were right. And they'd still be right. And I spoke to some other people about it. They were learning Chassidus. And they said, Rabbi Nachman is very great. And don't believe it. If people tell you that he's not, it's not true. He was very, very great. But we can't understand him. You can't understand him. It's a closed book. So because a lot of people can't understand Rabbi Nachman, and that for many Jews it's a closed book, the Hashgacha Pratis had it. Are you able to hear me? The Hashgacha Pratis, and be mindful of me, again, I said I can't hold back over here. So the Hashgacha Pratis had it that the way that I began my derech towards Rabbi Nachman was actually in a back room in the Young Israel of Hillcrest in Queens. I grew up in Queens. I really didn't daven much in the Young Israel, but I would go there for mostly for Minchamar. Shabbos, I daven in the Shtibel, and I would go to Shachris Minchamar. They didn't have Shachris in the Shtibel. I would daven in the Young Israel. And there was a huge, huge thing of Shemus. There was a tremendous collection of Shemus. It was a short time before Pesach, before Yontif. And the Rav of the Shul knew that I liked Tzvarim. And he came over to me, he says, we're going to send it all out to Shemus. So I want to tell you, Moshe, if you want to take a look, you can come and take all the time you like. Whatever, later on, tomorrow, or something, they're taking it away. But if you see something that you like, I have some very, very good Svarim from there. I have a Kedushas Yontif from the Satmar Rebbe's father, a first printing. I had a Divrei Chaim, that was printed in 1875, 1880. It was in Shemus. I got from the Shemus. And in the Shemus there was a booklet entitled The Lost Princess, Sipuri Maisis from Rabbi Nachman. It's The Lost Princess of Rabbi Nachman's story. So I felt like I'm like in the dungeon of the Young Israel, and nobody was watching, you know? And I sat down like this contraband breast of a thing. Because even then everybody said, you're not allowed. And I sat there and I went on the side. I remember exactly like yesterday where I was sitting on the steps. And it smelled from all the dust and down there. And I remember I took the booklet. And you know the way that the words start in the story. The Rebbe spoke up and said, Baderach. That's how it begins, Baderach. While on a journey, I told the story. Whoever heard it had a thought of tshuva. And this is the story. That's how it began. Baderech. Rabbi Nachman said, While on a journey, I told this story, and whoever heard it had a thought of tshuva. And this is the story. And I started to read the story of the lost princess, and I began to hear my story. Not anyway so beautiful and so elaborate, but there was never anything ever in my life that I ever saw that ripped open my kishkes, my heart. And it didn't even talk about, there were no like psukim, mishnayos and gemaras, but I never saw anything like it. And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of what I felt, that this tzaddik has the ability to give me back my neshama. The neshama of the Bas Melech Shenevda. The neshama, of course, the Bas Melech is the neshama, and the lost princess is the soul of a Jew. You know, when we look at children, everybody looks at a child. You see in a child that there's tremendous simcha, there's tremendous bitachon you see in a child's face. And the reason that a child, I mean, there are children that suffer, but the reason that a child is shining, the reason that a child is shining with such simcha is because if everything is well, if everything is well, he knows that there's a person or people in his life, God's help, a father, a mother. He knows that Yeshli Abba, Yeshli Ima. He knows that. And no matter what's worrying him, and no matter what he's afraid of, no matter what's going on in his life, he knows that he has a father. I think that what everybody, the question is, what draws people to Rabbi Nachman? It's a big question. There are professors that write doctoral thesis on this question of what is it about this place that we just a few minutes ago we were by the cloys and adding thousands of chairs in the building and people who are not from and people who are different coming from different places of their Yiddishkeit, whole, broken, 2/3 people, 1/8 person, all different people coming to this place. And everywhere in the world that there's such a powerful longing to connect to this tzaddik more than any other tzaddik. I think we could say that, at least from what we're seeing, that more than in our time, there's no question more than to any other tzaddik. Maybe you could say the Lubavitcher Rebbe Sussman, but certainly from the Friedrich tzaddikim that people didn't see with their eyes, there's nothing like this. I think that most of the world is feeling now that baderach, that along the way in our lives, at some point, the Bas Melech got off course. I mean, people are inward people. People are pnimistic people. This is the oilam I'm talking to now. That somewhere along the way, there's a feeling that we're lost, that we got lost. That somehow I lost that feeling that I had when I was a little kid and I was davening. Somehow I lost the excitement of that being in a Makom Kodesh. I lost the excitement of being just alive, of being in the world. And there's a tremendous amount of despair and depression. And I think that if there's one message that Rabbi Nachman was able to convey more than anything else, because you could talk and from high, not bis morgen, till the end of time and beyond, yovelis, about Rabbi Nachman's tires, the depths of his tires. But I think at the end, what makes the greatest impact, I'm speaking for myself, and for many, many people who I've had discussions with about this, is that somehow Rabbi Nachman was able to convey to the lost princess, A, that you're a princess. B, the place that you're in, the place of Lotov, that's what Rabbi Nachman calls it, the place of Znishgut. That the place that you're in is the palace. It looks to you like a big fancy palace. You're having a good time. Because like Rabbi Nachman described, the food and the music, you know, it's a lot of fun. Well, it's nishkut. It's not good. It's not your place. But then the question is, so how do I get out of this place? And Rabbi Nachman came and told each and every one of us, Al tidag. Yesh lecha Abba. Yesh lecha Abba. And even if you're zoche to have, like Baruch Hashem, I have, and thank God, many of you still have your fathers, they should be alive and well, b'sunu and so on, zekiyum. Even if you have the best father. But there are things that you know that your father can't understand about you. And that he doesn't feel all of the things that you're feeling. The special dance that Hillel Zeitlin described, that when we come to this place, even the person who's a misnaga said, here there's something different. Here, you have to listen. Everything here is, you have to be quiet. The joy. Who are these people? Could you imagine how they lived? We have no musik of how they lived. The misery, the poverty, the tzebrochenkeit of how they lived. We have no musik. But if you believe be'emuna shleima that yesh lecha Abba, and that your father not only loves you, he understands you. And not only does he love you, not only does he understand you, but he's a melech, and he can do anything. And that somehow that this person, this Rabbi Nachman from Breslov, well, let's face it, when we were dancing around, just to be singing that, they made the new words to Ashreinu, Matov Chalkeinu, so Yesh Lanu, Shezachinu Leskarv LeRabbeinu. Let's stop and talk about those words. It's a little bit presumptuous. I was thinking, you know, I don't know how the rest of you feel. Shezachinu Leskarv LeRabbeinu. Leskarv LeRabbeinu doesn't mean just taking, you know, a trip for a couple of days and stopping off and saying I think clearly it's big, it's a very big thing. And just being in the presence, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, it's a very big thing. But Shezachinu Leskarv LeRabbeinu. But yet, there's a Hashgacha Pratis that every single one of us is here. And each one of you is a story, myself, like Rabbi Nachman's stories. We would all be in stories of Rabbi Nachman. We'd be different kind of beggars. But we're all beggars. Everybody who somehow came here, because this is not, Sofkel Sof, we're not here like tourists that came because they want to identify with Israel, and they buy Israel bonds, and they took them to see the artist gallery in Sfas, you know, to take pictures or something. We're on our way to Eretz Yisrael also, by way of Uman, Baditshev, Meshbez, Uman, this trip that we're taking. And where each one of you began your journey and myself and how we Davka came here together. I believe there's a connection between our neshamas. I davened a lot that everybody who comes on the trip, each time Yitzhak Mordechai would tell me, he would come over and tell me that so-and-so is coming. I'd say, oh. Because I davened a lot that it should be hashgacha, a big hashgacha, that it shouldn't be anything from outside. It should be, when I say outside, I don't mean people that are not from shul. I mean, chasvili, it shouldn't be anything from chitzayinim. And there's hashgacha pratis, that we're here together, in this place, at this time. So even though there's no question that it is a bit presumptuous, but Rabbi Nachman was like that. He was like that. That even to be here the first time, and to be here for one night, to be here for a few minutes, you already feel like this is an injury, you know. Rabbi Nachman is one of, you know, I'm with Rabbi Nachman, I'm on Rabbi Nachman's team. I belong to Rabbi Nachman. It's an amazing thing. Because I've been to so many Mekremes Kedoshim and Kivei Tzaddikim in different places, and for me, it is my second time here, but every time I open up Lakuta Moran, every time I open up Lakuta Tfilas, every time I feel that this is mine. Not everybody feels that. Which is a chinulis kaivel Rabbeinu. Look inside the booklet on page 24. I mentioned this yesterday. We're doing a little bit from Torahs, and I'm going to explain different things from Sichas Aran about the greatness of being able to be in the place that we're sitting in Mamish right now. This place that we're sitting in right now. But I wanted to begin with this because we're on the way to Yisrael. And I'm going to say something that sounds a little bit strong, because people talk in a very grandiose way, and I don't want to talk like that to make it some sort of an extreme thing. But I do believe that after leaving, when a person was an Uman even one time, I believe Be'emunah Shleima, I can't prove that, but I believe Be'emunah Shleima, that your life cannot be the same. Now, we don't feel that now, necessarily. It's a charming, quaint, old, backwards town in the Ukraine. Or Ukraine, not the Ukraine, I'm sorry. Be careful of that. In some quaint little village, some strange little place with strange people. And there's a big tzaddik that's buried here. And we've all been to the Ariya Kodesh's kever and by Meron, and we've been zoche to be by Kivrei Tzaddikim and Eretz Yisrael. You go to the old cemetery in Tveria, every single step that you take, you go, in the two cemeteries. Which will be Zoichim et Hashem, I don't know both, but will be by Rabbi Kiva, Amchal, by Shlok Kodesh. Then you have the Chaluk in the other cemetery, the Chaluk of the Tamil Yavasha. And it's Tzfas, Berman Chaim, Mendel Vitebsky, Hoshea ben Be'eri Hanovi. That's where we're going to go meet Hashem on Sunday. And yet, there's something about this tzaddik and this place. It makes you meshuggah. Until you come to this place, you could also be like the scoffer in this story, right at the end, the one that was making fun. But then once he came into the breast of a shtiebel in Berditchev, then once he was there, he's not making fun anymore. Just like I always say that those people who or the misnagdim to Lubavitch Rebbe, that means that they never met Lubavitch Rebbe. But anybody who stood in front of him for a second, there's no such thing. Also, took you. There's such an inyan. We'll talk about that in Mitzvah by Meron. There's certain tzaddikim, and why is it there's certain tzaddikim, Rabbi Shimon, there's certain tzaddikim that they take you. They take ownership of you. All the tzaddikim are great. There are certain tzaddikim that they're kindly. They don't let you afterwards be you can't be the same. It doesn't mean that we're going to be big tzaddikim when we walk away. Halavai, we should all be zeichet the tshuva. But you can't be the same. So on the way to Yisrael with Rabbi Nachman, coming from Berditchev and the Baal Shem Tov, on page 24, Eretz Eicheles Yeshiva. Next week's parasha. Parshas Shlach. I think we originally were supposed to go Parshas Shlach, if I'm not mistaken. So we're on our way to Eretz Yisrael, and I want to make sure that when we go to Eretz Yisrael, that we only say good things about Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Should be careful. There should be a good report. So there's a Torah called Eretz Eicheles Yeshiva, and here Rabbi Nachman talks. He explains this pasuk in ways that only he can. There are different ways that he explains the pasuk. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. Eretz Yisrael devours her inhabitants. That means different things to different people. So Menachem says like this. This is Torah Kuf Chaf Tes in Likut Maran. Kuf Chaf Tes. Kshemekarev lahatzadik. Shazachinu leskarev l'rabbein. Kshemekarev lahatzadik. Av she'enu mekabel mimenu klal. Right? Av she'enu mekabel mimenu klal. Even if you're not some sort of a maven in Likut Maran. Even though you weren't makabel anything, hu gam kein tov maod, very good. The emuna levada, and the emuna itself, shemamin b'hatzadik, when you believe in the tzadik, the emuna that you believe in the tzadik, moil la'avodas Hashem is baruch. It has a tremendous benefit in your it helps you with your avodas Hashem. Ki teva ha'achila, and here's one of those Rabbi Nachman sharp left turns. Sharp left, but you could hear like everything going, and all of a sudden, until now that sounded like regular, and then here he goes. And he talks about eating. He says, ki teva ha'achila. He says the teva of eating, teva ha'achila, shahamozon nishapech l'nizon. Shahamozon nishapech l'nizon. Gadi, atam evin gamkena? Atam evin hagli kmo ha'chaver shalcha? Kokach tov? Yofi. Okay. Shahamozon nishapech l'nizon. That the food becomes the person who eats it. That even by the Goyim, there's an expression, you are what you eat. Shahamozon nishapach l'nizon. When you eat something, the food that you're eating becomes you. It becomes you. Kegom. Kshachai ocheles tzomeach. When an animal eats a plant. Kegon ha'sovim, like the grass. Then nishapchen ha'sovim l'chai. Then that which was on a lower level, which was on the level of tzomeach, of a plant, by being eaten by the animal, it's nishapchen ha'asovin l'chai. Then the grass is transformed into a higher madrega, it becomes chai, it becomes the animal. Kshenechnosim b'seich me'ah, when it enters into its intestines. V'chein mechai l'medaber. And when the person has that piece of chicken or the piece of meat, so then what? Then the chai, the animal, becomes the nizon, the mozon becomes the nizon, becomes the person who ate it. Kshamedaber oichel achai, nishapech achai lemedaber. Ulechol mokim shenichnas l'sham hamozon shenischalik laheivarim. And everywhere in the body, of course, that food is distributed. Hashem has made the body, and it circulates throughout the body to all the limbs and organs. And nishapech lemahus ha'eva mamish kshenichnas l'sham, and it becomes that eva kagon achelik mehamozon nichnas lemoach. However, whatever it is from the food, whatever part of the food somehow, through the circulation, enters into the brain, it means that that now becomes the moach of a human being. From a plant, from an animal, became the moach now of a human being, the mind, the brain of a medab. And if it's a Jew, it becomes the brain of Yisrael. The brain of Yisrael. And it can become the brain of the Ragachar. That somech, that plant, to that animal, the whole Chad Gadya, which is what the Chad Gadya is all about. Nishapach l'moach, v'anichnas l'leiv, and that food which somehow from that food which goes into the heart is nishapach l'leiv. It becomes heartzig. It becomes the heart itself. V'chein l'shar ha'evar, and so it is with all of the organs. V'zehu, now this is the effect that Eretz Yisrael has on a Jew. Eretz ocheles yoshveh. Look how Rabbi Nachman learns this. But you could already hear this happening. It's a land that devours whoever comes into it. It eats up the person who's there. Ki Eretz, Rabbi Nachman says, Eretz is bechinas emuna. Eretz, of course, land means malchus, means emuna. Eretz. means that which is the essence, the base of who we are. Ke'eretz u'b'chines emunah. K'mar she'kosuv, as it says in Pasuk in Tehillim. This is also, Rabbi Nachman, without any Googling, is the way that he was able to bring rayas from different places in Tanakh. Shchon eretz u're'ei emunah. Dwell in the land. U're'ei emunah. Re'ei is like a ro'etzon. And nurture faith. Dwelling in the land, eretz is emunah. Dwell in the land, and in the land, eretz re'ei emunah, with an ayin. And nurture faith. Eretz is the nurturing of faith. Emunah is the land. It means eretz Yisrael. V'zehu, eretz ocheles yoshveha, ki kishenichnas la'aretz. Because when a Jew enters deeply into that sugya of emunah, which is eretz, when you enter into emunah, when you're a mevakesh emunah, when you're the lost princess, and you're seeking emunah, kshenichnas la'aretz. Now some people, when they come to the land, like the Meraglim, some people are destroyed by that. And even on their level, there's such a thing that you could remain an outsider and a scoffer also. But there's that koach of Yeshua and Kalev, the koach of Emunah. She bechinas Emunah. Eretz Yisrael, Eretz is bechinas Emunah. And if you're a person who is able to admit that you're lost princess, and you are entering into Emunah, / Eretz Yisrael, Eretz, Malchus, you're looking for that. You want to get out of the bad palace, and you want to get to Yerushalayim, you want to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to get to that point inside of yourself. Ki kshenichnas la'aretz, she b'chines emunah, nechal etzla. Eretz ocheles yoshveh. If you zocha, Eretz Yisrael, emunah, will swallow you up and devour you. And you will become one. Just like anything that's eaten, it becomes you. You see, there's a difference between the person who talks about emunah, who learns the sugi of emunah, who enjoys machshav and hashkafa, and being a ma'amin. Being a ma'amin is a different thing altogether. Like, you could talk about tzaddikim, but when you meet a tzaddik, a real tzaddik, it's not anything that you ever spoke about. So he says there's such a thing that a person who enters into eretz, if you enter into emunah, Nechol etzla, then emunah can swallow you, can chew you up and devour you. Hainush nishapech lemahusa, you become a ma'amin. You become the etzem hadavar. Hainu, kishadavuk lahatzadik u'ma'amin bo. Now he comes back to the original, to the beginning of the Torah. Kshemakor v'latzadik. Hainu, kishadavuk lahatzadik u'ma'amin bo. Then when you dovek to the tzaddik and you believe in the tzaddik, shehu b'chines eretz, nechol lahatzaddik, you can get swallowed up and eaten by the tzaddik, v'nishapech l'mahus hatzaddik mamish, and you can become a tzaddik. You don't know how it happened to you. He took a bite of you. Eretz ocheles yoshveh, it's the way of true tzaddikim, it's the way of Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim b'frat, that it swallows you up. If you let yourself get swallowed up, it's eretz ocheles yoshveh, and then it's no longer I'm talking about emunah. It's no longer that I'm majoring in emunah in graduate school. I'm a mamon. Ani mamon. V'chein eretz Yisrael ba'atzmo yesh lo gam ken hakoach hazeh. Eretz Yisrael also has this koach. Val kein omer Rabbi Senazal. And again, Kol Yoshev Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean you have to understand Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't mean you're a maven in Eretz Yisrael. And when we get to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem, everything should go well. We get there tomorrow, so then we can do a little bit of a dance and say Shezachinu Liskariv LeYerushalayim, Shezachinu Liskariv LaHarabayis, but Zachinu Liskariv LaHarabayis. So we understand the Harabayis. We understand what it means the Beis Hamikdash. We understand what it means the Yerushalayim, Klilas, Yoifim, the Sois, Kolaretz. We don't understand. But look what Rabbi Nachman says. He brings from Chazal. But if you go with the right attitude, and if you want it, and if you admit that you're a lost princess, that's the key. If you admit that you got fablonged along the way, and you drop the whole macho thing, that I'm okay, everything is okay. It doesn't say that you understand the sugi of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't say that you're a baki in Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But you're ready in a place below Avay. That the Indian of Averis already begins to become a separate thing from you. That doesn't mean that you're never doing Aveir again. But like we learned from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Meditshev, I said many times in Shul, the Avar from the Meditshev, that you never saw that a Jew should make a Sudas Aveir, only a Sudas Mitzvah or a Siv. And that once a person is by the true tzaddik, you can't have the same gishmak from the Aveir that you had in the past. It takes away from you already that connection to the Aveir. So, Kala Yoshev Beit Yisrael. But it means, it says Kala Yoshev Beit Yisrael. That's already a commitment of some sort. But Kala Yoshev Beit Yisrael, Shori B'loi Oven, Shenemar, Ha'am Ayoshev Ba Nesu Ovar. The nation that dwells in the land is lifted higher than sin. Why? Why is it that Kol Yoshev Beit Yisrael? Ki hi eretz ocheles yoshveha. Because it's a land that eats you up. Sha Yoshev Sham, because when you get in that place, the Eretz Yisrael, and you are Yoshev there, then you don't realize, you look down, you actually have one of Rabbi Nachman's and one of the Torahs that he brings from the Gemara of Basra, similar thing, that all of a sudden you didn't realize that you're sitting and then the mouth opens up. And not by like Kairach Chas Hashem. But Eretz Yisrael just somehow swallows you. V'nishapech lemohusa hakadosh, and then you become an Eretz Yisrael dekayid. You become Eretz Yisrael. Valkei, and therefore afilu amahalach arba amos be'Eretz Yisrael. Which you remember that when Rabbi Nachman came off the boat, I'm sure that many of you read that when Rabbi Nachman came off the boat, the second he got off the boat, he said, Bemis, I already took care of what I had. Everything's already finished, and I could go back. But he felt bad for the person he went. He said, all right, so you want to go touring or whatever. But the second he stood on the ground of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nachman said, Gandhi, it's finished. The Indian is finished. It was taken care of. I feel, because I'll say, I feel a mahalach arba amos be'Eretz Yisrael, muftach lo yishu ben olam haba. Because Eretz Yisrael won't let go of you either. It doesn't let go of you. It won't let go of you. If you open yourself up to her, she's an Eretz Ocheles Yoshveha. She will devour you, and you will become Eretz Yisrael. Now you can go away for a while, but you can't live without her. So even when you're away from Eretz Yisrael, like Rav Kook talks about the beginning of the Iris of Eretz Yisrael, that even when you're away from her, all you do is think about her and dream about her and make plans and want and when I'm going and how I'm going and I'm eventually am going and I never really left. It looks like I left, but I really didn't leave and so on. The ikker here is that if a person is on the madrega that he truly wants to get close to the tzaddik, that he truly wants to get to the tzaddik, then the tzaddik will take him in and will swallow him up and won't let go. Now there is such a thing where the person is not necessarily, does not really want that, and that is on the last two lines. There is such a thing that is enu nechal klala tzaddik. There is such a thing. Apshim akur vetzlo, there are people who they go to the tzaddik. They, on the last two lines on that column, that they go to the tzaddik, they hang out a little bit, they go. But the tzaddik and yochel l'savla, but the tzaddik can't stand the person. That's why we have the daven, that it shouldn't happen to us. The same way with Eretz Yisrael, right? And yochel l'savla umeki oisar. There's such a thing that the tzaddik will vomit a person out. The ikar there is with gaiva, the person is going with gaiva and so on. Then the tzaddik ain't any vahu. The tzaddik can't be in that place with the baal gaiva. And there's such a thing that even though the person hangs out by the tzaddik vomits him out. Vahu b'chinas ha-kosav b'eretz Yisrael kasher kor es ha-goy. The same way the Eretz Yisrael vomited out the nations that were there. Da'ainu she'ein le'yecholah l'sovlo. There is such a thing. That the same way that the Eretz Yisrael swallows up a Jew who wants her, who's a Yoshev, and that Jew will become Eretz Yisrael forever. Same thing, there's such a thing that the tzaddik will swallow up a Jew. If you're Zoich, if you come with anivus, and you let go of your stuff, and you come and you say, Rebbe, I'm here, but not Gornish, I'm a nothing, I'm not Zoich to be a nothing. I'm not even a nothing. And you let go of all of that stuff, and you say, Atikin Kloli, or even you say a word, two words, a kapitel, whatever it is. And then the tzaddik is Eretz Ocheles Yoshevera. You become swallowed up, you become devoured by the emuna of the tzaddik, and you become a shtikl tzaddik. I mean, you become that tzaddik. And you can't part from that tzaddik, and he won't let you go your entire life. The inyan of Rebbe Nachman, it's amazing, is his appetite. Rabbi Nachman's appetite for Jews is unbelievable. Because there are a lot of the Jews that he swallows up that others would take one taste of and they wouldn't be able to taste. They were just like, they would spit them out. Rabbi Nachman had tremendous, tremendous appetite for Jews. A tremendous tolerance. He could take people that are over on every aver in the Torah. The Pachas Shebepchusim that we've been talking about, the Baal Shem Tov was his great grandfather, and Rabbi Nachman was able to take such a Jew and to say, a little bit of salt, a little seasoning, a little spice, I'll work on him a little bit, he's one of ours. And the other tzaddikim are watching, and like, you ate that guy? Rabbi Nachman says, delicious, mom, this guy is delicious. And the other tzaddikim are going, And Rabbi Nachman is like, the Baal Shem Tov was like that, Rabbi Nachman. Eretz Yisrael is like that too. We were talking on the way here, from the Chevra, the Zaycha to be here, Ushi has been here a few times, Shmuel's been here for many years, Shariel, a couple of the other guys have been here, Avi's been here, we have a lot of Chevra that have been to him on Rosh Hashanah, Jay's been here. Guys that have been here, Yamin, that have been here, Yoni's a long time. So we're talking on the way how a lot of the Israeli chevra, they come here from Rosh Hashanah. So I asked Shmuel, do they daven when they come? So he said, right? Like, well, a little bit sometimes, a little bit davening. You said no? All right, I didn't hear that exactly like that, but man, like, that's certainly not the strong Indian that they came for, and to sit in the shul for a couple hours, that's not what they came, but mostly they're on the streets, and they're doing little flips and stuff, and they're happy, and whatever it is, to be with other Jews, and there's an Indian of Eretz Yisrael also. That Eretz Yisrael has a Mordic appetite for Jews. Mordic. There are Jews that are in Eretz Yisrael that it's hard to believe that anybody on earth could be soiled them. That there's such a bitter taste to some of these Jews. And Eretz Yisrael is soiled. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Ocheles Yoshever. We just don't understand the secret of that Jew. Rabbi Nachman had a big appetite because he was able to see into that Jew. He was able to see the Elyonovi inside. And therefore, he said the outside is taka, needs some help. We need to work on this a little bit. It's tough. The meat is tough, You need to work on this. But Rabbi Nachman had such a thing. The lowest. At the end of his life, everybody knows that Rabbi Nachman was Isaac with Maskilim at the end of his life. Chassidim were upset about it. There was Isaac a lot with people that were not Shomer Mitzvos, they were not Mamina, whatever. He was Isaac with them. So Aleph. And that was a long time for Aleph. The rest of the Isaac are going to be shorter. We're not under such pressure today like the rest of the, like we were until now. So Aleph, that's why we're here. We're here for Rabbi Nachman's lunch. We came here because Rabbi Nachman knew that we are Jews that would enjoy being swallowed and devoured by him. You might, again, that might not be something you feel now. That's okay. And you don't have to start thinking like when we were younger. So they said, you can go to the coastal, you can go to the coastal. And then, like, went to the coastal. I remember I went to the coastal. So it's a big rock. And I felt like I must be the lowest Jew in the world because I didn't feel anything. When I went the first time when I was, I think, 10. And I went to the, right after the Six-Day War. And I didn't feel anything. It takes time. But it means that we're like when Rabbi Nachman opened up his menu, you know, his thing, and he says, oh, Shmuel Tzvi, Gelman. Come over here, Shmuel Tzvi. Come on, Shmuel Tzvi, come on. That's appetizer. Shmuel Tzvi's father is, oh, Nachman. And then we're going to bring the other ones here, Yehuda. It's not the same day. Not the same thing. Oh, Rabbi Nachman looks on that. He looks over here and his menu. And he sees this is good. This is. I like this. This is very good. To be zeichet to be by the tzion, and what Rabbi Nachman said about that. Look inside page 25. So many of you are familiar with this. Sichas Aran Kuf Nun Vav. Sichas Aran Kuf Nun Vav, page 25. Kishahaya Be'uman Shoma Be'beso Kol Shel Hatzoyekim Ala Beis Almin Al Kivya Veso. When Rabbi Nachman was in Uman, Shoma Bebeso, he was sitting in his house, and Shoma Bebeso, and he heard from inside the house, he heard people screaming, Kol Shel Hatzoikim Al Beis Almin Al Kivrei Avoso. There were Jews who were, I guess, I don't know if there's another cemetery in this, but there were Jews who were visiting their parents' graves in the cemetery. And he heard the screaming of these Jews. Shadarkem litzoikilis palosham bekol mar kenohu. That is the way of people, when they're in the cemetery, to cry out bitterly when they go to see their parents' graves. Upam achas, one time, shoma isha achas shoyset soekesham al kevra aviha. And one time, Rabbi Nachman heard a woman from the cemetery screaming by the kever of her father, Ovi, Ovi, b'kol mar ma'oid. Ovi, Ovi, b'kol mar ma'oid. She was screaming, Tati, Tati, b'kol, to her father, was buried there in a very, very bitter way. Obitoi Tichya, and Rabbi Nachman's daughter, Hoysa imedes etzlo oz. And Rabbi Nachman's daughter was with him when he was listening to this woman screaming from the cemetery, Avi, Avi. Ona va'amrlo ha'isha ha'zois tzo'ekes bekavan ha'itiv Avi, Avi. So Rabbi Nachman said to his daughter, you should know, ha'isha ha'zois, that this woman, is tzo'ekes bekavan ha'itiv. She has a lot of kavan when she's screaming out, Avi, Avi. She misses her father. She's crying for her father in the cemetery. Avlavia einu bekan klal. Avlavia einu bekan klal. Rabbi Nachman said a scary thing. That really, her father's not even here in the cemetery. She's screaming and she means it. Ovi, ovi. That's achmanis because her father's not here. V'omra oz. And then Rabbi Nachman said, Shetoiv kishaboyim al kivrei avos, that it's very good that when you come to Kivri Avis, Loy Mila Hamesim Ashaychnim Soviv Soviv Lekevra Aviyam Vimam Chayetz Shaboyim Elov, Levakish Mem Sheyedio Loy Shabob Benom Abitam Elov. Ibn Achim says it's very good that when you come for Kevra Avis, that when you come to the cemetery, you should say to the Mesim that are over there, again, I'm not going to explain, I don't know what it means this exactly, to say to the Mesim that are there, that are around the kever of your father or your mother, could you go tell this person, now why is it that you could talk to this one? Why is it not to your father or your mother? Go tell my father, go tell my mother that I'm here. Keep it, and they should come here. They should come to the grave. So the reason is because Rabbi Nachman says there are many of the mesim that they go away from the grave. There's always a tiny, tiny little bit of the kista de chiyusa, a little bit of something left in the grave. But ruba de ruba, they're out. They're out. They're gone. And there are others that are shruim al kivra. There are others that they're there, much, much more present at the grave. Al kain toiv lo yidiyam kadeshim yidiyu laviyam. Therefore, in case it's important that those of you are still here, those of the mesim are more present, do me a taiva, the living person who's here, do me a taiva, tell so and so, you say your father's name, your mother's name, that Yankel is here. Tell him Yankel is here. So Rabbi Nachman is saying that girl's calling out, but the father's not there. V'omer az, avil eitzel hatzadik, eitzel hatzadik, ein tzrichem lach sheishel zeh, shema einoy sham. Brother Tzaddik, when we're here in this place, you don't have to be chayshish what? Shema einoy sham. You don't have to be worried that Shema, maybe perhaps, the Tzaddik is not here. Kimisas atzaduk urakim my misha yoytzi michedu lecheder acher. Like he told his family. That the death of a Tzaddik, he told not to be, but he was very sick at the end and they were crying. He said, believe me, I'm only going from one room to another room. Vehim shul oz lebito al atzmai. And he said to his daughter about himself. The same way you're looking at me. And you could see that what? You could see that I'm in this room with you. And in a minute from now, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going away from this room. And I'm going to go to the next room and I'm going to lock the door. He said to his daughter, but if you come to the door that separates between the rooms, v'titzak, and you call, Avi, Avi, my father, Tati. Lo eshmad v'raich? Lo eshmad v'raich? Don't you think that I hear what you're saying? Don't you think I could hear you? Kedivreyim ha'ela nishma mipiv ha'kadosh? Like these words, Rabbi Nachman, this Indian that Rabbi Nachman explained to his daughter, Nishma mipiv hakodesh kama pamim, was heard from his holy mouth a number of times. Sheromaz lekol echad veechad kame godlo hamayla shamisha yizkelova al kivroi hakodesh vehanoyer. Those times that Rabbi Nachman spoke about the tremendous schus. I don't know why the kids just talk in the next room. It's not shy. Are they davening? I don't know what that kid's. What? I was just talking about you guys. He says, I don't mean that as an insult. Shamisha Yiske says that when Rabbi Nachman spoke about the unbelievable Madrega, Amisha Yiske Lov Al Kivra Kodesh Vahanayra, of whoever is Zeicha, to come to his holy kever. Ki bevada yishma dvarav. Now to us it seems like Rabbi Nachman, when we come to the kever of a tzaddik, it seems like, you know, he's light worlds away. And you would say, adrava, the tzaddik is so holy, that why his neshama has no shaykhis to this place. Has no shaykhis to the earth. Has bechlal no shaykhis to the, and on the earth, this particular place on earth that we're in right now, no shaykhis to this place. But that's what Rabbi Nachman was telling his daughter. That you should know that the same way I'm going to this room, to the next room, and you're calling out Avi, Avi, and you're calling out Father, I hear what you're saying. It's the same thing. Ki bevada yishma dvar v'yazer v'yashilo b'chol ma de'ashem. Rabbi Nachman said that anything that I could do to help, I'm going to help you. Uchvar nirshumu eze sicha yisrael. And there are a number of sikhas, there are a number of sikhas that have already been written down. Ki chen hayadarka b'kodesh l'siach l'dabar b'chachmasa on the floor, u'b'sha'as asikha lo hevinu kavanasai. There are many times that Rabbi Nachman would speak, and b'sha'as maise, when he would say what he was saying, they didn't know what he was talking about. V'achakach hevinu l'mafreya kavanasa ha'kadosha. But I'm going to add something to this. We don't have time to go through the notes. This is from a wonderful edition of the Sichas Aram, with the notes. That it's not only when you hear, when you, a person was zochet to hear Rabbi Nachman say a sicha when he was alive. Even those, like I was saying before, who are zochet to be in Uman, to be by Rabbi Nachman, even when he's not physically alive, and b'shas ma'isi you don't hear him, b'shas ma'isi you don't feel it, later on you'll understand. That's how it is. Later on. Eretz Ocheles Yoshevah. Ve'achakach hevinu l'marfeya kavanoso ha'kedosha. And only afterwards would they begin to understand kavanoso ha'kedosha. Befrat binyan zeh, the next page, page 26. On top of the left side. Befrat zeh, lova al kivro, shediber harbe mizeh. Rabbi Nachman spoke a great deal about what? About coming to his grave. He wanted Jews to come to his grave. There are only a few tzaddikim that we know of that spoke about that, and there was nobody who spoke about it as strongly as Rabbi Nachman. Shediber habe mizeh beferush uberemez kama pa'amim uchvar mevua ma sheyichet shnei edim. And not only that, but we know that he appointed two Edim. Look at the note. Tov kuf chav dalet. Just to fill in a little bit. Re'ei b'chayim Maharan. We're looking in the commentary of Noam Sichas. Noam HaSichas, who brings many Maharam HaKaymas. Re'ei b'chayim Maharan. That in Chayim Maharan, the Gila Daitoi, that he was Megala, he revealed his desire, his das, his request. Become a mine l'shaynus in different ways. Sheyavo al kivroi tomid. That there should be Jews who are always coming to his kever. Loimar tehillim al kivro, to say some tehillim by his grave. Vilil moed sham, and to learn by his grave. Where Mam is doing that right now, to learn by his grave. Ulahar bay sham betfilu v'zachanunim, and to try to say a lot of tchinus and tachanunim and so on tfilus. V'dibrim kama noshim in yinzeh. He spoke to different people about this. Gam ki shabah mi Lemberg, omar shesham hayatov lefonav le'estale. When Rabbi Nachman, only Rabbi Nachman spoke this way. When he came back from Lvov, when he came back from Lemberg, he said, Estaka, that's a good place to die, he said, Lemberg. He said, when he came from Lemberg, om shesham hayatov lefonav le'estale. He said he was in the mood of dying over there. It was a good place to die, Lemberg. Vilishkov Sham. Now I was with somebody last year when I just saw we went to see somebody by Harmanuchas, and they're doing a lot of work on Harmanuchas because they're making different levels there by Harmanuchas. So there's an old friend of mine turned to me and says, Maish, do me a favor. If I go first, don't put me over here. I can't take the tractors. They're making me crazy. Do me a favor. I can't. Get me like a better. give me like a, I said, the old spots are a lot more money. He said, take it, you can take it from the bank, whatever, if I have anything left, just don't put me over here, I can't take it. It's too much, I also, like, I you know, can't take the noise. Don't. So Rabbi Nachman said, he had a cheshbon. I would have liked it. It's not a bad place to die, says Lemberg. I don't know who he was talking about, but he said that the Kamavagada, you know, he might have other people that they didn't know, but he said, I like the tzaddikim that are buried over there. But he said, I decided not to die over there because I won't have people coming over there. They're not going to come to Lemberg. Maybe it was like a two-fair zone or something. And Rabbi Nachman said, that if somebody will come to his kever, which we've done, if somebody will come to his kever, the Yomer Kapitel Tehillim. He didn't say the whole Sefer Tehillim. The Yomer Kapitel Tehillim. Talk about Tikkun Klali afterwards. But you say Kapitel Tehillim. B'Soyrus Halev, with some feeling. Yiloi Tanu Godel Mizeh. Rabbi Nachman said, I have a lot of pleasure from that. L'Tanu Godel Mizeh. V'Oset Tnuois Begufo Batzmoisev Oz. And Rabbi Nachman made certain motions with his body to show how he'll enjoy it. The Ramaz Shiyeloi Chilatzat Tzomas Oz Bekivroi Kishayomu Tilim Al Kivroi, that will be a tremendous tannik for him and for his bones if you come to say a few Kapitlach Tilim by his grave. Vaidibra Bezeh Inyan Kamapam, that we never heard from any tzaddik who ever said such things. Vaachakach Gila, and afterwards, Gila Ha'asara Kapitl Tilim. Afterwards, he revealed the great mystery of the 10 Kapitel Tilim. Now, why is it a mystery? They're in Tilim. They're there for a long time. But I'm not going into the sugi now of Tikkun Klali. There's even a book in English that tells you a little bit about it. And there are Torahs from Rabbi Nachman and Likutei Halachos from Nosson on the 10 Kapitel and the 10 pulses and the Sipur Maisis with the water castle. There's a lot you can look on this Inyan on what's the 10 Kapitel Tilim. The Davka, these 10 Kapitel in the order that they're being said, and these Kapitel Davka. But Rabbi Nachman was Megala, Achka Gila Ha'asara Kapitel Tehillim, V'amar Shemisha Yova Al Kivro, whoever comes, Rabbi Nachman said, whoever comes to my grave, V'yitein Pruta L'tztaka, didn't say it has to be a big amount, but you give a Pruta T'tztaka, V'yoymer Eilu Ha'asara Kapitel Tehillim Yeniach, and we'll say these 10 Kapitel Tehillim, the Tikkun Klali. Look what Rabbi Nachman's Lashon was. This is the Lashon of Rabbi Nachman. That if you do that, yaniach atzmai la'oruch ul'roichav, I will throw myself down, length and width. Lazer l'zehaish, to help this person. Afilu m'ovar ma'sha'ovar, no matter what he's been, what aveira he did in his life, Rabbi Nachman made this promise. V'yichad shnei edim alzeh, and he took two very choshev tzadikim tamid chachamim as edim. He took them as Edom, Kimvur b'mokim acher, as is explained elsewhere. Turn to page 27. In the parish, on the right side, Oid Isa b'chayim aran, Kvayev tiach v'arbeinu zal b'chayev, the Rabbi Nachman explained, Rabbi Nachman promised rather while he was alive. V'yichet shnei Edom k'sheir malzeh, k'shek yishistalik, k'shevoh ala kivav yidnu prut l'tztaka, Shemati Merav Rav Naftali Zal, Shehu Hoye Echad Mishnei Ha'edim, Sheichad. Rav Naftali was one of the two Edim that Rabbi Nachman was Miyachad, Rabbi Nachman designated. Alin Yinzeh, Hainu Arav Marenu Rabbi Aaron, Vaharav the Rav, Vaharav Rabbi Naftali, Vomer Oz Rabbeinu Bezu Aloshin, Kishiyavo Al Kivri Vidnu Prutal Itzdaka Ba'avuri, Ritzalam Ozamin Ba'avur Has Chorus Nishmos Vakadosh Kanob, that when you put something in the Pushka, to remember my neshama. The yomru elu asar kapitel tilim and neshamim etzlenu b'shvil tikun lemikra laila rachman l'slan. And you say the 10 kapitel of tilim that he organized, that he arranged the tikun klali, which is befrat for the inyan of mikra laila, for a person not being able to guard the holiness and during the sleep chalila there's a mikra laila, or God forbid, intentionally. Oz yaniach Rabbeinu atzmei la'orech l'roichav, la'orech l'roichav. There's never been a generation like our generation has as much of a struggle with this inyan, which is also why there's so many who are coming. La'orech l'roichav u'bevada yeshiel l'zeh adam, v'amah shebahapeyis, there's a famous sentence, shebahapeyis yoytzi yoytzim again. Rabbi Nachman, this is by the person who was there, said that Rabbi Nachman made this promise, that he's going to throw himself l'orech l'roichav, and I'm going to grab that person by his payas, yoytzi oysim Gehenna, and pull him out from Gehenna. I feel him, yeh oysa adam eich shiyiyah. Yeh eich shiyiyah. Whatever his level, how low he is, yeh eich shiyiyah. I feel him, over masha over. Rak mi'ati yeh kabul atzma shal yoshu lav losu chas shalom. But he tries to be makabul upon himself that he's going to be better and not to do that again. Ubalayla shakaydim istal kusay, and the night before he died, Omar, he said, what are you all worried about that I'm leaving you? He says, you're going to see even Jews, neshamas that never ever met me, that didn't know me, they are depending upon me for Yeshua. Then what? Then you, my chassidim, he had very few. You, my chassidim, my family, kol shekein, you don't have to worry. Who were not zoche to see him when he was alive. When they come to his kever, and they're trying to learn his holy svarim, and they try to go with his eitzes. And the more b'svar v'akadoshim bevada yeshlem al mashi yismeichu, that even these people yeshlem, you could depend on me. He said, you could depend yeshlem al mashi yismeichu, you could rely on me, you could depend on me. Ashreihem ashrei chelta, v'liyeshmo kolachaisim bo ki kvargila daitu bekamel l'shoynis beferish. He already said this many times. Look at the bottom in the highlighted. You see what it says? Kisham Hamakam? Well, a little bit before that. After it says, Kishanishma Yipiv HaKadosh Pam Mehem Bismaya, Hut Vebein Avli Kovasham. Why in the end did he want to be buried in this place? Machm Shahay Yisham Kedoshim Haber. Because as you know, that there were many, many thousands of Jews who were massacred in this place. Right where we are, there are many Jews who were massacred here. Kinirsham Ma'at Mizeb Mokam Acher, Ubishvil Zeh, Haya Ha'ikr Shabola Uman. That's the main reason why he came to die in Uman. He came the last 6 months of his life. He left Breslov and he came to Uman. Because this place that we're in right now was designated from Sheshis and Mebreshis. Lastik Shom B'Tikun Ha'olam, somehow from this place, to be Isaac and Tikkun Ha'olam for Rabbi Nachman L'Doris L'Kol Mishiyovei Lov L'Sham. That's why there were those who, as you know, wanted to move Rabbi Nachman's body to Eretz Yisrael. Makes sense. They wanted. There was an effort that was made to move Rabbi Nachman's remains to Eretz Yisrael, but that couldn't be. Until maybe Mashiach comes, that couldn't be. Rabbi Nachman should be moved from this place because there was a cheshbon davka to be here in this place. L'Kol Mishiyovei Lov. Should I take a break? I'm okay. You all right? It's a big inyan. We're not here too often. Okay, a little bit more.
Sleep on the bus.
Just pulling up by the payas is not just.
If you don't have payas?
No, I wasn't worried about that. No, it's not just for those who come to Rosh Hashanah.
He said, not just Rosh Hashanah. Now, the inyan of Iskashvus. Because we're talking about L'Hiskarev. And now we saw the greatness, the inyan of being of Hiskarvus, that comes just by being a Yoishev and coming to this place and believing in the tzaddik, and through belief in the tzaddik, it's possible to come to Madrega of Eretz Ochelus Yoshveh, that once he tasted a little bit of each and every one of us, Mitzvah Hashem, he'll swallow us up and take us into him. and will become something of that person, something of that person, some of that tzaddik. There isn't. That's what we've been talking about. L'skarav l'rabbeinu. The union of his karvas, moving to a madrega of his kashvas. Now, the truth is, I prepared a shiur to give, but that itself is a 2-hour shiur, on the union of his kashvas to tzaddikim. That's based more upon the Sherry's Yisrael from the Holy Velednica. It was only a couple of hours away from here, the Velednica. But I was going to say on the bus, but that's not going to be anymore the bus. But this kashvas, as far as Rabbi Nachman is concerned, Rabbi Nosson spoke about the Hiskashvus with Rabbi Nachman in a number of, with the Tzaddik with Rabbi Nachman in a few places, in Betzias Apas Halacha Hey, in Lukutai Lachas Birchas Aperus, in Birchas Areach, in Tfilis Mincha, in Cheshemishbin Gvias Chayv Mir Alokuchas, and in many, many places Rabbi Nosson talks about this inyan of Hiskashvus. But the way that I'm going to explain it to you now, which is not long, this is not long now, the main, we finished. The way that I'm going to explain the inyan of Hiskashvus to the Tzaddik is, and to Rabbi Nachman Befrat, is based upon, not entirely, but it's based upon a shmuz from Rav Kluger's Ogazon Zayin. It's based upon a shmuz from Rav Kluger. It's found, I don't know if it's put into one of the Sforum yet, it came out as a chaveret last year, I think for the chaveret that was here, Rosh Hashanah. And one of the guys in Yeshiva gave it to me. It's in that chaveret. It hasn't been put yet into a sefer, but it's in a booklet. So this is what I'm going to say now, is based upon what's in Rav Kluger's and that chaveret. Now, when Rav Kluger came to the shul some time ago, it's maybe a year ago, not even, he spoke a little bit about this inyan, a little bit about the inyan, but not in the context of the tzaddik. He was talking more about chaveret. I can't hear you. I'm trying that it's not, but when David says that, it means that there shouldn't be any shvichas done. What? He's davening, it's okay.
David.
Leave him.
David.
Okay, it's okay. No. Yeah. It's okay. So, Rav Kluger was talking in that shmuz about the inyan of Nesias Chayim. Nesias Chayim. He's talking about a hava. In the shul, when he came to talk about it, was mostly he was talking about dibuk chaver. About ahava between friends. And also about marriage. And he explained then that in when it comes, let's say, the marshal, when it comes to chasen kala, to the inyan of chasen kala. So he explained that there's a certain tkufa at the beginning of their relationship, whether that's in more modern circles, longer time during dating, or in old-fashioned circles when they're getting used to each other already when they are married. But it's the same meaning. They have to get used to each other. So at the beginning, initially, Rav Kluger explained that in the beginning, they're talking from the perspective of the chassan. Then in his mind, he's noticing certain milas. There are milas, and he's taking note of those milas. Oh. This is a mila, this is a mila, that's a mila. He's taking note of it. He doesn't say anything, but he takes note of these milas. And he also takes note of the chesroinus. So, in the initial period of their relationship, it's a time of deliberation. There's a diyun that's going on. It's like a little bezel. This is good, that's not so good. So, like, I'm winning, you know. Like there was, I mentioned before, there was a friend of mine, he's a Rav of a shul, and he said that for the last few years, when they have the board, the election every year, he won 51-49. So he says, it's like, so when I get up to Dav Mincha, like I look around, like I don't know who, like, it's so close, 51-49. So he says, like, it's a bad feeling to Daven like that, you know? You don't know who's from the 51, but it's very close, 51-49. It's very close. So in the beginning of the relationship, so the chasen kala So Chosin is like, okay, like she's ahead, you know, 51 to 49. So I'm still in it, you know. So she's doing okay. But in that first kufa, there are. It's a time of uncertainty, and it doesn't take away. There's still happiness and everything, but there are deliberations that are going on, and we hope that Bez Hashem, eventually, the deliberations will come to an end. Now, sometimes in certain marriages, the deliberations come to an end. And it's not such a good way. They just come to end and say, look, what am I going to do? I'm stuck in this, and I'm, you know, whatever. I can't get out, or I'm getting out. At some point, the deliberations end, or else you can go crazy. So, hopefully, in an ideal situation, when things are the right way, Bez Hashem, in a good way, the deliberations come to a conclusion. When the Chosin and Kala come to what Rav Kluri explained is to that Soid Hadavar. So the Soid Hadavar means they come to that indescribable point where there's a feeling of Sod, of Pnimius, even though the Chesroinus on the folded page, and there's still Chesroinus on the other side. Of course, he has his own, but there's still mindless pros and cons. But at some point, somehow, in some deep and mysterious way, the conclusion has been reached. He doesn't know how. It's not a seichel thing. But somehow he came to this point where he's able to say in his heart, in the deepest part of his heart of who he is, he's able to come to this clarity to say, Zahamaisa Shali. Now, it might not be so gewaldig. But Zeha Maisa Shali means that this is my life. In an ideal state where there's tremendous ahava, it's that feeling of plag gufa, like the Zohar tells us, that a husband and wife are two hairs of one mitzias, right? Etzem Atzamai, that clarity, that feeling of Etzem Atzamai, where there no longer is a bezdin in your brain going on with all kinds of diyunim, of svaras, back and forth. Should I stay? Should not? Should I be happy? Should I not be happy? It comes to some point which was described by Shlomo HaMelech in the Pasuk in Koheles. Re'ei chayim im isha asher ahavta kol yimei hevlecha. Re'ei, it's such a Pasuk. Re'ei chayim im isha asher ahavta. I don't think I can go on. I don't want to bother tzaddik that's davening. Where is it? Is it coming from the next room or from here? What?
It was going to come there, that louder when we went over to the back.
Ah.
So I think if we go over, it's just going to become.
Ah, it's an action. Oh, is it? Okay. Say the. What? Okay. Let me say it. The pasuk that says Rei Chaim Isha Asher Ahavta. In other words, until that point, it wasn't yet a davar muskum inside the side of who you are, the essence of who you are, that this person is on that level that's called Chaim. In other words, that it's your life. Rei Chaim Im Isha Asher Ahavta. Kol Yimei Hevlecha Asher Nosn Lecha Tachas Hashemesh. Kol Yimei Hevlecha. In other words, Shlomo Melech says that at some point it becomes clear to you and known to you in the depths of who you are. And you can't explain it rationally that this person, Rei Chaim Im Isha Shahavta Kol Yimei Hevlecha Shanos Nol Chatach Zashemesh Kol Yimei Hevlecha Ki Hu Chelkecha B'Chaim, because this is your Chelek. Ki Hu Chelkecha B'Chaim. This is your chelik in life. So what happened? What happened is that before that hakara, before you recognize that, before somehow that revelation took place, which is a revelation, that before that revelation took place, you were still two separate mitzias. There were two separate existences. There was you and her. The two separate. And because of that separation, there's turmoil inside and turbulence. And you're always asking yourself, is it kedai for me to spend the rest of my life with this girl? There's always that question. Is it kedai? And you might go to talk to a rav, or you talk to some therapist, and the therapist says, no, let's go over. Tell me the miles and tell me the chesroinus. But the shaila is still, you're still in a place where you're thinking, is it kedai? I don't know if it's kedai. Because I have this aggravation, I have that aggravation, and the therapist says, listen, I got to tell you the truth. The person you're married to, this is, you know, this is 40, 50 years therapy. You know, and I'm one of the less expensive ones. This is the rest of your life therapy. And kula haiva ula, you'll be able to have like 2 weeks. I've heard people report back to me like this. That kula haiva ula, you'll have like, you know, every now and then 2 weeks of menucha. Maybe. Mostly it's going to be misery, a little bit menucha in between. So when a person has that shakla vitaria, and then you ask the question, is this kedai? Is it kedai? Now, sometimes there's miserable resignation. That's terrible. Okay, beseder. Kol hakavod, there are people that they could do that. Some people can't do that. Miserable resignation is, it's for sure not kedai, but I'm not going to cause pain to Avramela and Sarala, v'chula v'chula. That's something else. But Rav Kluger explained, and this is exactly what we're talking about the entire trip from the beginning of this. This is where we are right now. That when it comes to that mitzias of the realization, kihu chelkecha b'chayim. What does it mean, kihu chelkecha b'chayim? It means this is the chelek that Hashem has prepared for you in your life. Like the old show we used to watch when we were kids. When I say we, it means if you're older, over 50, this is your life. And this is your life, kihu chelkecha b'chayim. In a good way, kihu chelkecha b'chayim means that it's way beyond any discussion of marilis and chesroinus. It's beyond that. So if Kugler explained, if you want to understand, what's the inyan of his kashrus? What's the inyan of his kashrus? Now listen to this. Are you able to pay attention? You're doing better?
No, the guy
got up,
he looks around like it was a dream.
He
just got up out of the bed. He looks around and sees
that. I'm missing the sideshow. I hope it's on the thing. What? He allowed us into
it. I think it's a lot harder for you to concentrate than us to concentrate with that noise. Maybe you're
yeah.
We can hear it.
Yeah. You're okay, as long as okay, then I can work on it. It's fine. So what's the Nivus Kashrus? Especially, Rav Kluges explained, especially with Nachan Levema Kochachma, especially with Rabbi Nachman, what's the Nivus Kashrus? His Kashrus is a feeling of Kihu Chelkecha B'chaim. When we were talking before about Eretz Ocheles Yoshver, that the Tzaddik devours you, now, that means the following. It means that a person... can come to Uman. Why do you come to Uman? Many people come to Uman because they heard what we just learned before in Sichas Haran. They come to Uman because they heard that Rabbi Nachman made Gevaldige Havtoches. And since they're good Jews and they believe in Tzaddikim, and someone told them that what? That Rabbi Nachman, this big Tzaddik, made Havtoches that'll pull you up from Gehenna. So this person says, you have a Jew that pulls you up from Gehenna? I gotta go because I'm in Gehenna. I'm either in Gehenna right now, or I'm going to be in Gehenna later, or both. And I need somebody, and they say, yeah, there's a Jew that's buried in the Uman. You pay a couple of $100, or if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's not that much. And you can go to the Ukraine, and in Uman, there's a Jew who's buried over there, and he has this like great deal. There's this fantastic deal. There's a Jew that's buried in Uman. He said, and these people believe in Tzaddikim, he said something that no other Tzaddik said. He said that he'll pull you up by the payas. So the guy says, I don't have payas, I don't even wear a yarmulke. He says, doesn't mean you have to have mamish, you know, fat payas or something. It means he'll pull you out by years, whatever it's left of you. He'll pull you out from Ghana. The meaning of payas, why does he say payas? It's an interesting thing. Just as a side note, one of the Talmidim said that by the field, the peya is the corner, right? The corner. Serving.
They're racing back and forth. Only here.
Okay. So the peya of the field, this is a public place. That's the truth. It's a public place. We're the ones that we have no right to take over a public place. It's just you would hope that someone that's saying so much tilling would have a little more derech eretz. That's what he gets, unless he doesn't notice it. That's all. That the peya of the field, the corner of the field, that corner of the field. What does it mean?
It's gonna be like a classic.
Okay, we'll take it. We'll stop for a sec. So this tzaddik explained that he saw that Usha meant business. The corner, Shkarchev. The corner of the field means what? It means even if you have a Jew of Misham Yikachacha, Misham Yikabetzcha, Misham Yikachacha, he's at the corner of the universe. That's why he said Peyes. Even a Jew who's mamish, you think that peyus means like you have to be a Baal Madrega that you have peyus. He says it means that even a Jew who's bepeyah, who's at the corner, who nobody else even thinks about, nobody else looks at, he's such a nidach, he's such a person that's so far pushed away that all he lives in a corner of the world. That's the meaning of the word peyah, right? So you have a Jew that he heard that there was this big tzaddik that he's buried in Uman, and he made a promise. If you come to him and you say a couple of kapilch till, he said, how many you have to say the whole till? No, you'd say 10 kapilch. And he says, and you first put something into the pushka. What do you got to put into the pushka? Your credit card? No. He says a couple of prutas. A couple of prutas. I can get a ticket, then you can find some Jew that's going to pay for your trip, right? You got some other guy to pay for your trip. I have to say 10 kapilch till him. Kuf your test? No. That would have been something, can you imagine? If Rabbi Nachman had put Kuf your test. No, not Kuf your test. No. That's not right. Regular kapitlach, medium, short. Nothing. 10 kapitlach, telem. Couple of prutas that stuck in the pushka. And he says he's going to pull you out from Amish. So you have a Jew like that. And he comes and he's happy and he's. I was zayich to be miskarvel rabbeinu. In other words, I did what I was supposed to do, and now he's going to take me out from Ganem. So there is that very very basic elementary mahalach that does not have anything to do with being utterly and completely devoured by the tzaddik. Yeah. Why? You asked me a question. The diktuka? Oh, come on, Yusha. It's not a question in diktuka. What? I don't know. To be medakid, it means by that part of yourself that's all the way pushed aside in the corner. What do you want to say? You don't have to be medakid in the lashon, but that's what Rabbi Nachum said. He didn't say it in Hebrew either, by the way. Yeshua Ganus. He said it in Yiddish. So you want to be medakid in how he said it? I don't know how it came out exactly in those words. But what's his kashus? So he said, what's not this? So he said, this is not called his kashus. Rav Kluger explained that there are people who come to the tzaddik because they have a simple cheshbon. The cheshbon is the same way when you start a business. Yeah, you try to make a cheshbon. What can I make? What do I stand to gain? And what do I stand to lose? In this marriage at the beginning, what do I stand to gain in this marriage? And what do I lose? And if you come to the cheshbon, then I can maybe do better. So you stay in the marriage? That's rachmanis. That's not called his kashrus. In other words, let's say this husband and wife stay together. Why? Because 51 to 49. Like my friend the Rav. 51 to 49. That's not called his kashrus. The husband and wife, they stay together. Why do they stay together? They stay together because the husband, I'm not talking about the wife, what her cheshbon is, but his cheshbon is, comes out taka, that it's more kedai for me to be in this marriage. So if Kluger explains, that's not called his kashrus, that it's more kedai to be in this marriage. In other words, in the bezden of your brain, it came out a cheshbon that it's more kedai to stay married. So the person who comes to Uman, because it's more kedai to come here because this tzaddik is better than going to the other tzaddik. Because this tzaddik says he takes you out by the payas. And I go to other places all over Eretz Yisrael, all over the world. I never heard such a thing. They're not taking me out from anywhere. So that's not called his kashrus. His kashrus is when a person comes to a place, the same way that when a kli comes to the ur. His kashrus is etzem ha'atzamai. His kashrus is when the husband and the wife and the chasna kala come to that point where, you know, like there's this, the proverbial question where this beautiful kala asks the chasna, would you really care for me so much if I was in a horrible car accident and I was totally deformed? And the guy says, oh, I would love you. So I would love you even more. And like you could hear the malachim laughing, right? This is like when they're going out, just because he's this really beautiful girl. And she says, maybe you just look, my mother said that maybe you just because I'm so pretty, maybe you like me because of my looks. What are you doing? How could you insult me like that? So then she says, you mean if I was hit by a truck, right? That's what he used to say. If I was hit by a truck, you would still love me? Are you kidding? I would love you more than ever. I would love you more than ever. So when the inyan of this marriage is that it's something else, not the etzem hadavar, not the side, not the secret of chelke chavachayim. This kashrus to the tzaddik is not an inyan of, even though when we come here after we believe that the tzaddik is helping us, and we came and he's helping us, and everyone here should have a Yeshua b'chol in yonim, sayin gashmis and ruchnis. Each one of us, we all need Yeshuas for ourselves, for our children, our grandchildren, parents, friends, all of Klai Yisrael should see Yeshuas, that's for sure. And the tzaddik keeps his promises 100%. He makes a promise, he keeps his promise. But if that's why you come for the promise, if that's why you're here, then that's not called his kashrus. The side of his kashrus is the feeling that chelkecha b'chayim. When Chazal say kol adam shein lo isha is shori b'loy simcha b'loy chayma, it doesn't say that he's shori b'chatzi simcha. It means I can't live without you. When a husband and wife feel about each other, I can't live without you. I can't live. And other people say, no, it's not true. A lot of people say, I can't live without you. With the tzaddik, this kashrus is chelkecha b'chayim. And the koyach of this tzaddik b'frat, to be able to bring a Jew around to that place of eretz ocheles yoshver, to feel even though you're not a bal madrega, even though you're a peyer, you're someplace far away, that somehow, hu chelkecha b'chayim, that a person will come back. Like you ask somebody, and I'm not talking about how people come to Uman these days, because now in Uman already to come, it's not so difficult. It's still hard compared to being at home, but it's like a joke compared to how it used to be in the early years. So I've had this conversation with many, many people. They come back from Uman, and I'll say, so what happened? So they start to tell me that, I can't tell you, I got stuck with these roommates, these crazy, sick people, and what they were doing, and what they're making noises, and carrying on, these crazy people. And how did it go with the food? Food, I was fighting over a knedel. You know what I had going on? It was crazy. And what about, at least where you stayed, was it clean? Clean. The cockroaches wouldn't even go there. It was so big. You know, these are the early years, right? I'm talking about conversations in the early years, not lately. And like where we stayed. And I'm asking more questions. And then he's telling me this, Mamish. And I would say, so what's the story? He says, I can't wait to get back. I'm going back. I can't wait to get back. I got to go back. It's so imagine if you have a wife that you're in that place with that wife. Mamish etzim etzamai. Ahava dveikus hiskashus. Odom and chava. Mamish hiskashus. And someone comes over to you and says like a lashon, like you know, I don't see the milus. I don't see the milus. Like there are other people that are much better and nicer and prettier. That's the biggest insult. Not because of your gaiva, because kihu chalke chabachai. Because that person is your chelik in life. Look on page 28. Look at just kuf pei ches. Kuf Peches. The first sentence in this Torah. Da. And Rabbi Nachman used the word da, and he's bringing it down from Atzilus, a very, very, very high Torah. He says, da, shetzorach lenzor lahatzadik lachzer alai vidosai. You have to travel to the tzaddik to find that which you lost. Now I'm putting everything together. Tzorach lenzor lahatzadik lachzer alai vidosai. Avidosa. What does he mean what you lost? He's talking about the lost princess. You lost yourself. You lost your neshama. You lost your tmimus. You lost your tzidkus. You lost yourself. You don't even know who you are anymore. She says, dash. It's tzarech lemsor lahatzadik lachzer al avidosa. The place we have to go to look. The place to go look for yourself where you lost, the lost princess, the lost self. Dash. It's tzarech lemsor lahatzadik lachzer al avidosa. You have to go to the tzaddik to find avidosai. So learning of ta'isi kese oived, like David Melch says, bakeish avadecha. Hashem, David Melch said to Hashem, ta'isi, I got fablonjit kese oived, like a little lamb that got lost. Bakeish avadecha, I'm asking Hashem to look for me. Dash et zerch lenser la tzaddik lachsa levidosai, ki koidim shi yoitzi odim la avir ha'olam. Look what he says. Before a person is born, before a person comes into the world, they teach him and they show him each and every one of us. Before we were born, we were shown what we have to work on and what we have to accomplish in life. Before we were born, we were shown that. The kevin shiotzla avra olam, but once we come into the world, miyad nishkach miitai. When we come into the world, we get a patch and we forget. K'may shomer Rabbi Senzachon Levarach in the Gemara, va'ashikcha hi b'chinas aveda. This forgetting of the self, forgetting what we knew, the truth of what we have to do in the world, the truth of who we are, this is called aveda, lost, the lost princess. This is being lost. This is what it means, being lost. That's why we find that shocheach, the term in Chazal, shocheach, for somebody that forgot something, is also oved, losing something. Or even in English, when a person can't remember, he begins to say, what? I'm losing it. It's interesting. I'm losing it. K'mamoramzal. Mahi lishmo, mahi la'abed. To forget something is called losing it. Rabbi Nachman says that during the course of one's life, a person has to go not to be misyayish, not to be misyayish, never to give up. And a person has to go looking for that which is lost. So where do you go looking? The Aveda, the missing self, is by the Tzaddik. Now, you can go to the Tzaddik, and it's nice that the Tzaddik make all kinds of Hanukkah presents he said he's going to give you. You come, I got, they're enticed, they're not, what's it called, not enticed, when you want, what? No, when you want to offer gifts so people will come. Enticements. Right? Enticements. So, incentives, right. So the Tzaddik might give all kinds of incentives. Okay, beside that, he said, if you come, I have things I'm going to give you. So he gives incentives. And that's a good way to sell something, with incentives. But could you imagine if the marriage is based upon incentives? There are marriages like that. There are marriages like that. His kashrus, he says, when you come to the tzaddik, and you come because you understand, and something inside of you has started to tell you, not the incentives, not the milas of the tzaddik and the presence and the incentives, but there's something that tells you inside, I'm lost. And I'm lost and I have to find myself. And the place to look, he says, look at this lashon. V'tzarech lachzer ulevakesh avedoso. And where do you look? V'haved l'shlomit, he ate the tzaddik. Remember the marshal that Einstein had a very chashuv student. I don't remember his name right now. Eddington, Professor Eddington. He was a big Talmud of Einstein. And he was once invited to give a lecture on the Indian of religion. He was also a very religious Christian. And he was asked to give a big scientist. So he was asked to give a lecture on religion and science. To give it, because he was the best guy to give such a talk. Einstein wasn't religious, but Lahavdil, this guy was a religious person, Eddington. So he was asked to give a lecture on science and religion. So he got up. I heard this in the Shmuz a long time ago. He got up, Eddington, and it was a big thing with all big professors and everybody coming, a conference. And Eddington got up, and he said, there was a guy who was standing under a street lamp, scrounging around looking for something under a street lamp. And the nice guy was walking there, and he said, what any person would say, could I help you? Did you lose something? He said, I lost my car keys. Eddington said, I lost my car keys. So then usually you ask a dumb question. The question goes like this. Did you lose them here? It's an interesting question. But this guy's answer was, Eddington gave this marshal. Listen to this marshal. Eddington said, that the guy says, no, actually, I was playing with my kids. I live around 6 miles from here. We were playing in the backyard, and I lost my keys in the backyard. So the guy says, so why are you looking over here? So he says, because this is the closest street lamp. It's a gewaltig emotion. It's the closest street lamp. In other words, where I am in my life is totally dark. So I came to a place where it's lit up, but that's not where you lost it. And you're not going to find it over there. So you could have a person who's looking for himself, you know, whatever, on Broadway. He's looking for himself in being a big businessman. He's looking for the lost princess in a million places in the world where it happens to look like there's a street lamp. And in that place where there's a street lamp, he goes and he thinks he's going to find himself because he understands that. But there's only one, he says, Rabbi Nachman said, Tzorech lachz levakish avodos v'havedah shluhi etz latzadik. The Aveda is by the Tzaddik. Ki Tzaddik choyzer al Avedoso ad shemoytza. The Tzaddik will look, if you're one of his, the Tzaddik, because they're different madregas. Sometimes a person is one-eighth of the Tzaddik, one-tenth of that Tzaddik could be connected to him at different levels. But, as it's explained in the Svarim, but the Tzaddik will look for you. Ki Tzaddik choyzer al Avedoso ad shemoytza. Ad shemoytza. Till he finds it. First the tzaddik finds himself. That's an amazing thing. He finds himself. And then the tzaddik is choyzer mevakish achar avedas acherim. The whole idea of the tzaddik is when he's alive and even after he dies, is looking. Avedas acherim. Ad shemoytze gam avedasam. Ad shemoytze ha-avedas shel kol ha-olam. That's Mashiach. Mashiach is finding the Avedas of Kol Olam of the entire world. Mashiach is going to give back to everybody the lost self. That's the new Mashiach. He's going to give back what's lost. Al kein tzarech lovo le'achochem levakish lehakir avedosai. Therefore, you have to come to the one who has the Avedas, the one who has who's the lost and found of the world. The tzaddik is the lost and found center of the universe. That's the tzaddik. V'loshuv lekabla etzloi. And if you come to the tzaddik, you don't just come to get stuff, but you come to try to find that lost part of that lost self, the lost princess. And you come there and you just say, Hineini, I'm here. I don't know your Torah. I don't understand what you're talking about. Look at the Maran Zohar Sefer. And I don't know anything about all of these fancy things that you have with your Aitis and your Tfilas and the Tikkun Klolis. I don't know what you're talking about, but I want to tell you something. I'm lost, and Hineni, I came here because I was told that you know how to give back lost souls. You know how to bring back people who are lost. That you're the lost and found. You're the place for lost and found. Not the street lamp that I was looking under, because I understand that. Because what I lost was not far away. It was my backyard. But I got lost. I got fablanjit. Okay, Chevre, we're at the end. But I'll skip over the papyrus, the chachm, even though I really wanted to do that. I'll skip and we'll go to the tefillah. Look on page On page 30, 31, 32. And you can just say it together with me. I'm just going to say this. I'll tell you where this is from. Rav Berlin Zal Gesund sein. He has extraordinary tefillas, very, very beautiful tefillas for different occasions. And in this tefillah la'ani, he has his tefillas to say by the tzion that we're at right now. So these are composed by Rav Berlin. Tefillas to say that you could say when you hear by the tzion of Rabbi Nachman. I don't think I have to translate. You could say it. We could say, I mean, it could use a little bit sometimes, a little translation, but I think that if we just look inside with our and follow him with our eyes and with our lips, that we will have accomplished something, at least to begin our relationship with this, with the tzaddik, Yisad Olam, with Nachman Levei Mekar Chachma, at least to begin a relationship. You have page 30? Rachum Mechanan, Hapoishid Yad Lapoishim, Mechofet B'tshuvasa. Me'ayin Yovo Ezreinu. V'mehechan Tovo Tshuvasenu, where will we have a tshuva from? Me'achash Anachna Anu Rechoikim, Mikol Cherota Amitis, even when we say that we're sorry for our various, we're not really sorry. Mikol Kabbalah Amitis La'osed, and even when we say that we're going to be better, we don't really mean it. Shalei Nechta Oidois La'olam, Avaloi Nitan L'shum Yeyesh, but we're not going to be Messiahish. Shein aveir neiro mimenu, because there's no worse aveir than yeyus, than despair. Lemaititenu, to shake us, to crush us. Chasashon, yala afichu keni mitshuva. Because even though we're far away from doing tshuva, onu ma'aminim b'emunah shleima, we believe b'emunah shleima, v'yoyidim b'beirim, we know clearly, shirav koicha shalat tzadik ha-kadosh v'anor, the great is the strength of this awesome, this great and holy tzadik, ashon anoysim ilav achshav, who we're going to now, we're at now, to be ma'iras, to do honest tshuva, real tshuva, l'charot amitis, and to truly regret the past. Imke, imke halei, from the deepest place of the heart. Rav koich levatel yeshu seinu. Rabbi Nachman, a tremendous koich to help us to be mevatel our yeshus, our gaiva, l'shorish gaiva seinu, to uproot the gaiva. Shishorish peri reishu, I know that's the poison of our lives. V'la'akam itonu, achas l'tomit, to finally get rid of what? To uproot us, call a machshavas arose, all the bad machshavas, various asuras, the bad thoughts and the disgusting things that we looked at in our lives. Shein pri asuras umeas gilgulum. Who knows how many times we've been in the world? Many, many times. Shein is galgalnu bishol tachtiyus umitachtav, and in these gilgulum, all the gilgulum in our lives that we've been misgalgal, rolling around in the lowest, this most disgusting filth. Meoz chait etzadas, that our neshamas have been through all kinds of crazy things from the time of creation. Of the snake until now, at va'ad hayon. Ribbono shel olam, avinu avraham, b'darkeinu el tziyuno hakadosh v'hanor shel hazihari lo shel adam rishon. As we're traveling to what? To the holy tzion of the one who is the light, the highest light of from that place of adam rishon, from the highest part of adam rishon. The Rabbi Nachman came from the highest zihari lo, the highest light of adam rishon, where Rabbi Nachman comes from. L'neshama. When we come to this neshama, who's buried, the Jew who's buried in this place, this neshama, Shema Olam Loichot, again to say such lashonis, that never sinned. La neshama sheparcha mi'odem harishon, the neshama that flew out of Adam harishon, kaidem kol hiru machsha, before Adam harishon ever thought of eating from the tree. Shloitama mitam eitz hadas la'olam, that never was there, the neshama that left, that did not participate in the chait of the eitz hadas. Lo b'maisi, lo b'riyah, lo b'hira, lo b'shum k'tzei machshava, not in any level. Neshama shlo nifzika dveikusa b'chol la'olam, we're coming to the neshama that never for a second stopped its dveikus to you. Shmei olam lo yiro, says the olam, that never ever looked at this world. La neshamish is halcha ba'olam, to the neshama, he's hinting to the beggars. La neshamish is halcha ba'olam, there was a neshama that lived in this world in a guf, but what? La lo einayim, without eyes, that didn't look at things of this world, that didn't look at the world. La lo einayim, and didn't listen with ears, didn't have ears the way people have ears of this world. La lo peh, without a mouth. La yadayim v'raglayim, shema'olam lo einoshmes avir ha'olam. A neshama that never took a breath of this world. whose feet never stepped on this world. This wondrous neshama, that we can't understand with the highest level of seichel, even something that's higher than seichel. There was no gate that was shut before this neshama. There was no gate in Gan Eder and Gehenim that this neshama did not know how to break open. Therefore, there's no closed heart of a Jew. Anybody, no matter how closed your heart is, that this neshama of Rabbi Nachman could not break open. We're now coming close to where? El Ha'esh HaGadol, to this great fire. Asher Yechayla Lisraif, that can burn Levak, El Shemetz Tumah, that burns away any stain of Tumah. Ona, therefore we ask Hashem, page 31. Ona Barachamecha Haravim, please Hashem, Barachamecha Haravim, Azor Lanu, help us, B'sho Zu, now that we're here. The Kaimis of Pasuk Anera, Kol Asher Yovah Be'esh, Ta'aviru Be'esh, as it says in Pasuk over there, in Bamidbar, the Pasuk of how, where we learn out all the Kashering from in Matas had the kasha things. Kol Hashayova Be'ish, if something became treif, it became tomei in fire, then what? Ta'aviru Be'ish, you have to get out the filth with fire. Lisraif is kol chata'enu, help us, Rabbeinu Shalom, by being in this place, to burn out all of our aveyus, v'avaneseinu p'sha'enu. Mikol ha'gilgulim, from all of our gilgulim. B'leiv nishma, with a broken heart, amiti b'dmo shlish, b'pchi is crying, mitach leiv tzor b'emes, with a heart that is scorched. With tears that come from the heart of the world, mehalev, shu sheirish kol halavavis. Rabbi Nachman's heart was the heart of all hearts. Shafilu tzipur and raglo, that even the nail of his foot, of his toe, milubeves yoisa, had more of a heart in it mikol leiv acher than every other heart. Rabbi Nachman's toenail had a bigger heart than every other heart. Harachman hamiti yoisa mikol rachmanim, the one who had more rachmanis than any rachman. The one who was always worried about us and all of Am Yisrael, more than anybody, more than any mother could worry about a child, who wants good for all Jews, who promised without any compromises and without any fear, that he will stand up and help anybody who comes to his grave, as long as you come in without the gaiva, in a pure and simple way, in an honest way, to those who really want to do tshuva, that he swore that he'll help. If your heart is broken and shattered, only Jews who are prepared to crush themselves into little pieces, that a person can be freed of, can be cleaned of. Hashem, you want all of those who are far to do tshuva. Help us that through our coming here to Uman and being mishtateach, not only in Uman but by mishtateach by the tzaddikim who was zeich to be by in Berditchev and in Mezhbiz and being over here, shetusa me'aleinu haklipa neir hazayis, that this terrible klipa should be peeled away from us. Hadvuka bana, this attached to us, me'ol shemanu b'kolosho nachash, from all the way at the beginning when we first were in Adam Arishna and we listened to the voice of the snake. And may our tears suffice and be enough to make it, for the, when we go back home, tremendous, beautiful kelim. Like the kelim of the tzaddik, this great tzaddik, who's over here in this place, the marikis, to clean out all of our aveyus, to lift up all of our tefillos, to kabbalas tshuvas, and to mekabbalas tshuvas, ad shebemes, till truthfully, Nizke Kulanu will all be Zeicha. Kol HaKibbutz, all of this gathering of Jews in Uman, V'chol Amcha, and this kibbutz of ourselves from Eish Kodesh here in Uman, V'chol Amcha Beis Yisrael, L'Skal El Zeh B'Zeh, that we should all be, once again, all joys tied together. We should be able to ascend to the Sheresh, where all Jews are mamish one. Asher B'Kisei HaKovet, that's by Hashem's throne. L'Skal El Shom B'Sheresh Kol Nishmais Yisrael, Zaken L'Hargish B'Emes B'Oimekish Sifluseinu V'Pichisuseinu. Rabbi Shalom, let me, help me to let go of the gaiva, to let go, that I should be able to feel how low I am, and all my shuflis, and all my pchises, that everybody else in the world is closer to doing tshuva than me. I'm the lowest. I'm the lowest person who's here in Uman. And every Jew in the world, I'm so far from coming. I'm so immersed in my gaiva. Yitzurven it more than anything that exists. Ubemis ainly tikva. And Bemis, based upon the mitzias of my life, there's no hope. The tshuva says, there's no hope that I'll ever do a real tshuva. Beloy had tzadik hakadosh v'anor, if not for the tzadik hakadosh v'anor, the Baal HaVedis, HaShoich and Khan, who dwells in this place. Ashev tiach lovel ezvas kulon, who promised that he would come to help each and every one of us. Afilu le'ezrosi dal ve'evyan kamoni, even to help a miserable poor person like me. Vani oni, like David Melch said, Vani oni ve'evyan, Hashem yechoshev le'ezrosi mefalti ate loikai, al ta'acher ezrosi ha'yisa, al t'cheni v'al t'azveni lo'kei yishi, al kein bosi b'zeh l'schen l'fenecha, t'to'ir bi, it's called Shiva Hashemus, he goes through the Shemus, of all the different Shemus. Look at Tezayin. Bivoeinu atel moiked ha'or. Now that we're coming to the great, great, great fire, the tremendous, tremendous bonfire. Moiked ha'or. Or ha'ein soif. Ha'nimshach derech oylem ha'tir v'oylem ha'malbish derech ha'odem kadmoin atika kadisha arach anpin. I just want you to hear the words. I'm not sure that all of you know what this means. Abba v'ima zer anpin, and me included, zer anpin u'malchus adat sin ha'kodesh v'anor shor ha'bein ha'nachmet simcha ben fege. I should zoch le sheva madregas on the rosh of shivas hakapzonim. The tzaddik was zoch for the seven madregas of the seven beggars and the story of the seven beggars. The spal of anatol of neshoich and barim. We came here to daven to Hashem as bar. Kinniska gam onu kolonu bekerach meikad har azel. We should be zoch because of this great bonfire that's burning over here in Uman. Lahapach eish lor. And by I forgot to mention before that we were in Brest by Rabbi Nelson. Lahapach eish lor. We should be able to turn this fire into a light. May oirei eish, like in the Torah, Rabbi Nachman, that oirei eish should become oirei or, a fire that burns away, but a fire that illuminates. Ad shekol ha-taivis and the rosh and the labimon, that all the taivis, the terrible taivis that we were born with, shenim shkol enim b'chet etzadas v'adayim, everything should be changed instead of being a fire of filth, a fire of yetzahara. She yehovchu le'eish kodesh yakedem. That's the whole point, that we should be able to have the words eish kodesh. Yehovchu le'eish kodesh yakedem. So she become. And Eish, is it underlined by you?
No.
No, by me, I underlined it. It should be an Eish Kodesh Yekedesh. B'chinesh Eish Tomit Tukat Al Mizbech Le'sichba that we have over at the Aron Kodesh in the Shul. It should be a fire that doesn't go out when we leave. It should be a fire that's burning stronger and stronger after we leave. Eish Yekedesh La'havas Hashem. How Efeches Kol that's able to change all of our Ahavas Nefulis, all the disgusting loves that we have for bad things. La'esh lahav la'Hashem is brought. There should be a fire to Hashem. Esh lahav amamish. The teofer if his kol ramach ever enish shesagi denu. He's very big as you see. Ramach is 248. Pamaim lapid twice. Torch is 2 times 124. Soid devayre esh is lapidus. Esh is soid avanim shleim is tivne. My okay with the gematrias. Sheniskel es pilel lefaniv is brach begil uberad. We should be zarek to daven to Hashem with great fear and great with joy and trembling. Kol atzma sena tomar ramach even shesagi denu yiranil kalchai avanim shleim is nivda. We should build buildings of Kedusha, Bagi Yenu Mila Bemila Bezakas Behirs Benigunim Beshirim, with singing with Nigunim and with Shirim. Achen Izge, again, it should be a tshuva that's only with Simcha, only with Nigunim, and only with Shirim, like the Tzaddik who's buried here wanted. Everything Besimcha, Benigunim Beshirim, the Sholosh, Givone Akesh, to the three colors of the rainbow that Rabbi Nachman talks about in the Torah, Hamam Tikim Kol Din Shavarim, that should sweeten all of the dinim of our lives, and all of the dinim of the world. We should be Zerkati, the Nigun coming from the violin, from the harp. David Malka Mashiach, but until the day that we could hear from David Melch's violin, we'll be zeichet to hear from Yosef and Gadi's.